challenges. Wow. Okay, so we've been around about 50 years. We started in the ghetto of New York and ministering to teens. The name kind of stuck. We don't take anybody younger than 19. I think we've taken a couple 18-year-olds. Just too much, you know, red tape and stuff with having youth. And so now we just minister to people from 19. I think the oldest guy we've had is 55. So we go, you know, all the way through. I've heard pastors say they would put anybody that's on their elders team or people they know through Teen Challenge. It applies to everybody. Most people have some form of life-controlling issue. We all have a sin problem, I think, at a base level. And, you know, it really just, it ministers to that and just putting structure and discipline and regimenting. And, yeah, so right now I think we got 16 guys at the men's center. And I think you guys have up to 10. You have five now? They have five now. They have up to 10. That's okay. Yeah, so I'm the work detail coordinator there. We have five staff, and yeah, it's good. We do this kind of stuff, outreaches and 24-hour worship things. And at one point, we did a lot of work with Austin down on the east side. That's kind of disappeared. We hope to get it back. But yeah, we're just a non-denominational Christian addictions ministry, and that's why we're here, is just to kind of testify about what God's doing. And you know, God's been, I was born in Nanaimo, raised in Victoria. I'm not going to go too much into my actual past. I had a hardcore past and heavily involved in drug addiction and organized crime. And I was a heroin addict when I was 21. I lost my house, my business, my truck, my fiance, my dog, like a bad country song. Everything was just kind of falling apart on me. And I ended up in prison. I'll even go back further. I'll go back to when I was 12. I was really rebellious, and I was starting to kind of slip through my mom's hand. I was raised by a single mom, and she wasn't a Christian. She decided that she was going to send me to Bible camp, and that was going to be how I was going to get fixed. That was the kind of first effort to get me fixed. I gave my life to the Lord when I was 12. I got baptized. I came back, and within a couple weeks, I was stealing cigarettes again and riding a skateboard, and you know, nothing had really changed. It was very superficial. You know, said the sinner's prayer, got put under the water, and came out. It was religious. There was no spiritual event that took place. Nonetheless, I believe that I was called that day, and I made bad choices, and they led to all kinds of circumstances like prison and gangs and crime. And I ended up actually getting saved. Resaved. I don't know if you can be resaved or lose your salvation. It's debatable. But I met the Lord. I started a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in federal prison. Very real. Transformed. Quit smoking cigarettes. I was tattooing in prison. Got off heroin. Quit smoking marijuana. Transformed. Relationship. And that was kind of what I wanted to say today, is that religion can change your life, whether it's Buddhism or Islam or Narcotics Anonymous or AA. You can put structure and discipline and laws into your life, and that's called religion. You can rank and file your life into a religious manner, and that will structure it enough for it to change. But when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you'll be transformed at a base level. That doesn't apply anymore. Once you're transformed, there's something that takes place, and you'll never be the same. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter how much structure and discipline you try to apply. Once you get one-on-one with God, it's a totally different story. You get a fresh slate. You start walking in victory. If you're white-knuckling it through every day, that's no way to live. And, you know, I've had a rough couple weeks. I find that, you know, I've had a long road to Damascus experience. I've had the white light, blinded, laying in bed deal. And, you know, just in the past couple weeks, I've had some real good godly men speaking into situations. And, you know, it's easy to know what God wants you to do or have the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's a totally different thing to actually walk in obedience. And I just kept hearing, like, there's a blessing in obedience. There's a blessing in obedience. Like, you need to, we're not telling you what to do. Like, you have the choice. Like, that's good, godly guidance. Like, just like ministering the will of God and being like, you have the choice. But like, here's kind of the blessing and the curse. There's a blessing in obedience and a curse in disobedience. And, you know, I had some people speak some hard words over me. Like, I won't even get into that. But, you know, that stuff, it penetrates deep. It says the word is like a sword. It cuts through everything. So when you start spending time alone with God, the words of these godly men start to echo in your lives. And I pray that's what I do for these guys, is that, you know, I don't always make the right choices, but I believe that my relationship with Christ is deep enough that I can work through whatever's going on. And that's the example that I kind of show these guys. Like, I came a year and a half ago. I did my program. Like, as I say to Sean all the time, I did 5 months of my program on discipline. No coffee, no desserts, no phone calls, no letters, no passes. Like, I wasn't like the pick of the litter as far as Teen Challenge goes, right? I was like, some of the times they're just like, is he going to make it? Like, but I made it by the grace of God. My parents are proud. I thought I was going to go home to Kitimat and do carpentry again. God had other plans. I did my leader in training program. I'm an intern, you know, and the more I focus on myself, like, I get so wrapped up on myself still. Like, it doesn't matter whether your addiction problems are gone and you've put that away. We get so wrapped up in our own plans and dreams and aspirations. And God's like, I would have you do something else. But he's a perfect gentleman. He'd never force that on you. And you just got to be obedient and know that there's a blessing in that. And I see these guys grow and become strengthened. And me and Robert talked today, and I got to hear Nathan's story the other day. And I'm just like, I'm blessed to work there. And I had a bit of a rough time a little while ago because the Eastside ministry had gone away. And I was kind of getting bitter about it. And I was like, just praying. And God's like, this is your mission field. Like, I was just had this revelation. I was at the breakfast table and there was all these men around me that need Christ, like, to be real in their lives. In the same way, like, you could go down there, you know, 6 months, twice a week, and maybe get the opportunity to really minister the gospel to someone who's broken, like, once. And, like, I'm surrounded by men who are asking for it. He was just like, this is the mission field. This is your ministry. Like, don't get wrapped up on that stuff. Like, it's right here. So Teen Challenge is amazing. It's a powerhouse ministry. You know, we value Dave coming out and speaking to us. We've got some other amazing men that are coming back, like Brian West. You guys are all welcome to come out Monday morning chapels. Yeah, it's great. We'd love to see you out there. And there's some pamphlets there. They say who we are and what we do. It's got two girls on it, but I think, yeah, it's for both of us. All our centers are on there. Also, student sponsorship. If you guys want to sponsor Homeland Missions, like I was saying, it's, you know, same kind of deal as World Vision. $30, $60, $90 a month. $30 a month for student. There's cards back there. Help yourselves. We also have a vehicle donation program. If you guys know anybody who has an old beater that doesn't run, or one that you guys just want to get rid of, we'll come and pick it up. We'll drive out here and pick it up, put it on the trailer. And when we sell it or part it out, we'll give you a tax receipt for it. And you can put that towards your income tax at the end of the year. And I'll get Robert, our VDP guy, to come share. Thank you very much.
Good morning. My name is Robert. I am at Teen Challenge. I'm 35 years old. I spent the last about 34 years of my life searching for God. I just didn't know it. I grew up in a non-Christian home, and during that time, I started I had a loneliness of where I came from. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know my real dad. And, you know, and this loneliness was able to grow inside of me. And in grade 7, I found a way to kind of numb that a little and started smoking marijuana and cigarettes. And things just progressed from there as I went to high school and, you know, different drugs, different crowd. And I found some comfort in all of that. But meanwhile, the whole time I was just getting further away from myself, losing myself, and it led me to a really dark place. I was had a lot going for me at this time. I had a good job. I started a business. I'm a journeyman machinist now at this time. I had a family. I have a family. We're just not together through various reasons. So I was locked in my shop in darkness, losing everything, selling my soul to the devil. It was over a amount of years that I gave him my power. I gave away and I was deceived. And I cried out to the Lord one day. I was face down on my desk. This is only about a year and a half ago. Dead, as far as I'm concerned. And the Lord reached down and pulled me up and blew the air into my lungs and sent me on my path to Him. But it wasn't before I called out to Him. I cried to Him. And I said, Lord, why? Why did you make me like this? And now He shows me. And He brought me to Teen Challenge, put the right people in my road. I became saved about a year ago, somewhere around there. I started going to a church in Pitt Meadows, Grace Community Church. Started going to the food bank there, actually. And I was still alone, and then I found, I came to the Lord. He found me, pulled me up, He brought me on His path. And slowly from there, I got into some AA and NA, I could share, same as Tim. But it was just a good seed planter for the Lord. He planted that mustard seed. And over various 6 months or so, 8 months, as just getting back with my son and whatnot. I have an 8-year-old son. A wonderful gift from God. He brought me to Teen Challenge. I came in there. I was scared. I thought, wow, this is what it's come to. Still had that mentality. And I'll tell you, along the way, I've come to know that Christ lives in my heart. And He's given me a heart to know Him. He's given me many gifts inside that are opening up as I go along through this program. I've met a lot of wonderful people like yourselves. We do a lot of outreaches and different churches, and we're very blessed to have the program that there is. We get to set everything aside for a year. And along the way, just the fulfillment. I finally found something that fills that emptiness that I could not fill. It could not be filled, no matter how much junk I put into my body. And, just up until recently, even, I went out on my pass about a week ago, and, I went and saw my son and visited him, and I went, and his older brother, he's lost at this time, and he's in jail right now. And, I'm not even with his mom anymore or anything, and I went to that jail to visit him because he was asking about Teen Challenge, and he was reaching out, and I just know that God arranged everything that day. He put me in there. The Holy Spirit came to us. I prayed for him and told him what's going on. And I believe there was a seed that was started. And outside, as I waited outside for my ride, the Lord was just speaking to me and telling me how many places that He can use me. There's so many places we can be used. There's so much darkness out there. It could be right next door to you. He has a love for us. I was reading all your wonderful scriptures on the wall. And on hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And I was a filthy sinner. And the Lord has called me out of that onto a straight and narrow path. And so I just thank you all for inviting us out here today. And I'm gonna bow out. God bless you.
I love this church, and I'm so grateful to be here this morning. My name is Teresa. I'm 41 years old. I have a 23-year-old son, and I am in my 12th month at Teen Challenge. I'm going to be graduating April the 29th, so excited about that one. Excited to get back into life. I just got, actually April Fool's Day was 1 year clean and sober for me, so it's another big milestone. It's amazing what God can do in a person's life. I'm not going to get into my past too much, but I will tell you that I was born in the prairies. Both of my grandparents were preachers, actually. I come from a Christian background. But I guess life just happened, and as I got a little bit older, preteens, I had some very traumatic things happen in my life, and I became very bitter, and I held on to unforgiveness and resentment, and eventually that led me down a road of darkness. I left home at an early age and became very rebellious. Was involved in everything. I got married really early at 18. And, you know, this was in Kelowna, BC. And, I was involved with, criminal gangs and drugs and, yeah, everything. And, I had a very abusive husband, and I'm really lucky to get that I got out of there okay, and God had his hand on my life all the way through, and there is no shadow of a doubt inside of me about that. And I was lucky enough to have my son most of the time. I realized about 27 that I had a serious drug and alcohol problem, and I began going to meetings as well and got a fair amount of success through the program of AA and Narcotics Anonymous, but I still was holding on to all of those resentments, and I couldn't get the God thing because I was really blocked, and there was some pain that I just held on to, that bitterness with my relationships with my parents, and that I felt that God had let me down and God was punishing me in my life, and I didn't find any reality in with God, and my ideal of him was, you know, this punishing guy from the sky, and that I was too bad, so he just kind of abandoned me. And I raised my son for the last 13 years in North Vancouver, and I did get some measure of success. I was clean and sober. I looked after foster children and got involved with the children Ministry for Children and Families, and was helping teenagers. And then I got into painting and decorating and the arts. And anyways, I got into another relationship, and we were both fairly unhealthy still, and wound up coming to a very, not a fun ending, put it this way. And, I left that relationship just about 2 years ago, and I started relapsing back into drugs and alcohol to cope with, the stuff. It just had built so much, you know, inside of me. I thought, you know, I dealt with some stuff, but really God's the only one that can heal, you know, and I was so broken. I wound up just finding, I got an apartment in Maple Ridge. I just ran away from everyone and everything. And basically I was slowly killing myself by myself in the dark. And I was really lucky that, this sounds strange, but my father had a heart attack 4 years ago. And he got flown down to Vancouver here. And I was the one that met him at the hospital. And he went through a very serious operation, quadruple bypass surgery. And when he came out of that surgery and he was still alive, is when our reconciliation began. The first time my father looked at me and he says, Teresa, he says, you're beautiful and I love you. And both of us started crying, and we began healing. But I was still, you know, running. But they moved down to Abbotsford, and I think they're very worried about me. And we began repairing our relationship. And then they found out about Teen Challenge. And when I was in my darkest moment, on my own, just before I came to Teen Challenge, just over a year ago. I cried out to God finally. I really, really, really cried out to God. And I really realized that my soul was in danger and I was hurting everybody. And, this was a horrible way to go. And, just if there was anything out there, please, please help. And there was just some miracles that started happening in my life. One miracle after another. My landlord called my parents. My parents came to the house. My parents all of a sudden became aware of the situation and they had told Teen Challenge about me. Teen Challenge girls were all praying for me. Churches were praying for me. I had so many people praying for me. It was unbelievable. And, they kind of conned me to go because I was like, I don't know if I can go to Teen Challenge for a year. Like, I didn't know what it was. And when I got there, I just started crying because I heard the women singing and they just sounded angelic. And I could see in their eyes, you know, and the last year has been a journey of letting go of all of the resentments and the bitterness in my life. It has been such a healing journey. It's been hard. It's been hard because I was going full force in life and I just needed to stop. And God just did miracles through me, worked through me because I shouldn't be standing here in front of you in a church and talking to you about all this. It's just a miracle that I'm here today and that I have a testimony. And I am so grateful. And my son is, God is looking after my son. My family, all my brother is talking about coming back to the Lord. And, there's just so many good things that are happening. It's just like this, snowball effect. And, I've got freedom. I've got freedom in my life and I'm looking so much forward to walking out of this program free and, starting anew with Jesus Christ in my soul. And, I'm a new creation and I believe that today. So thank you.
Vantage. Well, first of all, thank you for letting me share, and thank you for having us, TC, here with you guys today. I'm not very good at public speaking, so bear with me here. My name is Peter. I grew up in Vietnam, south of Vietnam. I came here when I was 10. I'm now 27. So you do the math. I've been here 17 years. My dad left me when I was 1 year old, on my first year's old birthday. That very night, he left. Also left me when I was 6. I was left behind with my older sister. My mom owned a beauty salon in Vietnam. And there were four of us at the time. I was the youngest. When my dad left us, all my mom did was receiving letter and money from him with a address. So she missed him and she was sick of waiting for him coming back home and when she was longing for him. And I remember she said, now if you're looking back, it was 20 years ago. It was 20 years ago. There wasn't that much Vietnamese over here in Vancouver and in Canada. So she knows as long as she gets herself here or brought us here, she can find him easily. And she's a very, very strong and committed lady, woman. So she decided to come to Canada looking for my dad. But she had just left me behind because she was alone. Sure if she can make it over here. On top of it, my grandfather, who loved me so much, he doesn't want her to take risk of my life. So he hired me that night in the bush. And she decided to leave my sister behind to watch over me and look over her beauty salon. I came here and reunited with my family by the age of 10. A year later, my dad got deported back to Vietnam. But before I came to Canada, I grew up with my grandfather, my sister, my older sister, and I was brought up in a very loving environment. The love that our Heavenly Father had for us. My grandfather gave me that same love. And I thought that Mama would give me the same thing. But I received unbalanced love from her, which create a gap inside my heart. So I decided to move out. When I grew enough wings like a bird, I flew away from home. I left my family. But I was determined to stay in school. Even though I moved out at the age of 15, I still want to show my mom that I can do it alone. But graduating high school, I did it. But I have to pay rent. I didn't know warfare. I didn't know nothing about the ministry, the government. All I know was I have to make money, pay rent, pay food, and stay in school. It was so hard. Being the only student, the only kid in the whole entire school that lived on his own at that age, I was popular. I was one of the popular kids. Being popular, it's not all good. Because all I have was so-called friend at the time, but really, I'm not saying that they're bad kid or bad people, but they're just people like us, like myself, who make a bad choice. I was surrounded with that environment, with that people, with that type of people. And one of the kids introduced me to his brother. His older brother, who was in the truck world, brought me into the business. I find out I was like a money magnet back then. Money come to me so easy. At the same time, it goes so easy. By the age of 17, I was able to graduate and brought back $15,000. Place it on the table. And I said, Mom, I can do this on my own. I graduate. I can make money. In a way, I was in honor of my mom. As a traditional Vietnamese woman, mom, like her, she wasn't proud. She knew how I make the money. She wasn't proud of me. She said to me, I remember, it's not your sweat money. It's what she called cold money. It doesn't stay in my wallet long enough for it to be warm. I was ignorant. My head was hard like a coconut. I just left. I left the money there. I left. I went. Decided not to come home. Continue on doing drugs, dealing drugs. I wasn't using. But my sister warned me there's consequences to what I do. It doesn't come today, it will come to you. I was addicted. My addiction didn't start when I used drugs, but it started when I was working for the devil by selling drugs. It started when I was addicted to money, shopping, popular, friends, fame, you name it, casino. I was addicted to all of that stuff. And by the age of 21, that's when I start turning to drugs to fulfill the gap. I went back to Vietnam, bring back the, a year after. Before 21, I was 20. I went back to Vietnam to visit my grandmother. My sister cried day after day, saying that you risk your life, you waste your time. You take a risk by doing what you're doing, and you make that money. I don't agree with you. Yet, you're so stupid to go and spend at a casino and go feed them. Why? And she cried, and she cried. And one day it hit me. And I promised her I would never step foot back in casino again. So I did. Without doing that, my money, I have money coming in. And she said, why don't you just take a vacation? I went back to Vietnam. We started building a big house for my grandmother. And still remembering her and whatnot. And thanks for all the years that she took care of us. So along with my money and my sister, we built a house for her. But my grandmother, she's very smart. One day she said to me, according to my calculation, from the day that you came to Canada until now, even if you save every single penny, you wouldn't be able to have this much money. Now tell me how you come up with this money. Now, I gotta be honest, I lie a lot in my life, especially in my addiction. Before my addiction, I lied too, but never to my grandma. I couldn't lie to her then. So I told her. And I can tell that she was impressed. She said to me that I would not. It would make no sense for me to break down the house. What done is done. But I want you to promise me, when you come back to Canada, just stop what you're doing. And I did. I came over here. I washed my hand. What hit me the most is when she said to me, somewhere in the future, if one day I end up in the hospital and knowing that the money you send back to pay for my medical is not from your own earning, I'll send back every single penny. That was hit me. That's why. That's why I committed to myself and I promised to myself I would have to do what she said and come back here and stop. And she also advised me to come over here and undo my past. Pay back, give back. Do something. Choose another person for someone. Without getting anything back. Don't ask for anything back. So I go volunteer. Downtown Eastside, Union Gospel Mission. I start volunteer there. Now this is way before I used drugs. But I suffer through depression. I still hang out. I stopped doing drugs, dealing drugs, but I still hang out with those people. I spent 6 months in Vietnam, now I have no more money. Come back, I stopped drug dealing, have no more money coming in. But I still spend money like a big spender. So come depression. Arguing with my mom. Just a whole bunch of tragedy one after a sadness. Just a big gap, big emptiness in me. So I decided to fulfill the emptiness by using drugs, which is a very, very bad and poor choice I made. I know that now. When my mom came here, get back to my mom, how she came to Canada on a hunt for my dad, she first She came here as refugee. She landed in some camp. I'm not going to lie, make it up, I don't know, but she landed in some camp. And a group of Vietnamese church sponsored her. And she said to herself and to us that we have to give thanks and commit it to go to the church every week. So when I came to Canada, I was grew up in the church environment somewhat like this. Not too big. Pretty much like this church, a family church. I hear the story of Jesus. I know the story and whatnot, but I never lived it. I just go to church just to show up in a family environment, just to be there. No, I know the story, but I don't really know him. But going back to my addiction, of all the things I've been through, it's amazing that I'm still alive. Through my drug dealing years, so many times the other gang after me, I should have died then. For some reason, I'm still alive. So I think God got something to do with it. I tried recovery and treatment. I know drugs is a disgraceful thing for my country, for my people, as for my family. And I was the disgraceful son. I tried going in and out of recovery and treatment center, but I always fail. I almost give up on the last one. But a person who I volunteer for, and I connected with the Vancouver Servants, a group of people who are also Christian-based. I used to volunteer for them also. But I came back this last time as a client. They have a program called Prehab Program. It's helping you walk side by side and just taking you into the home and help you through the hard time. And he showed me love. The guy that run the place, he showed me love and he reminded me that I'm worth more than this. But I told him that I'm hopeless. That I tried it so many times, I don't know how to do it. He said, well, maybe you need God in your life. And I said to him, I hear that so many times, but I don't know how. He said, no, get yourself into the house of God. Not into recovery house, but house of God. So we looked up on the internet, and a fellow who run UN Gospel Mission, who I used to volunteer for him, he know Teen Challenge. And he said, why don't you just go to Teen Challenge? And both the Union Gospel Mission and the Vancouver Servants supported me and helped me get your Teen Challenge. It's different this time, though. If you remember the story of David, I reflect that story. When I look at that story, when David was just a shepherd, when David was fighting the bear to sheep, save the sheep, and fighting that lion, he didn't know that God was preparing him to fight Goliath. But he was, because of the great love that he had for our Heavenly Father, and because he had faith in the Lord, and because he was a good listener, he do exactly what his dad said. He was blessed. And when I look at myself, of all the years that I was suffering in my addiction, all the trouble I've gone through in life, I know it was the wrong choice I made, but I don't regret those because I look at that knowledge that I have now. I said to myself, that knowledge that I have today, no university can teach me. But all from him. And the story of David, I relate to my story of my life, that all that I suffer, all the pain that I went through is a preparation for what yet to come. And by being at Teen Challenge, and it's a very tough program, by the way, but I'm not giving up. All the trouble that I go through today, daily, in Teen Challenge, I look at it as a preparation and challenge. On the way here, Proverbs is my favorite book. I was just looking through, and I was hoping to find a message. But when knowing that Proverbs is right in the middle of the book, I opened right into it. I didn't even have to look, and it's highlighted right here in Proverbs 12:1. I just want to leave this here with you tonight. I mean today. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. He who hates correction is stupid. So, I just want to leave that with you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Aisha. Don't really like microphones. Just wanted to start with the scripture because I get nervous and So Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. I have it highlighted, and it says, don't forget, because I think so often it's easy to forget where you came from or just, like, not even recognize the progress that you've made, and just you feel like you're spinning and spinning and working for nothing, and then times come like this where I have to share my testimony, and I'm reminded God has done such a great work in me. I was born in Abbotsford. I was raised in a Christian home, but my parents split up when I was really young. I went to Christian school, but my family were Christians, but my mom didn't walk the Christian walk. So when she got remarried, she also got divorced again. She's been through many marriages, and I saw her searching for love in all the wrong places, and that was really hard for me because I didn't understand that. So when she got divorced, we moved away, and I was taken out of Christian school, and public school was much different. People were much different, and so my life started changing. When I was 16, my mom, again, got married and decided that she was going to move to California, and this was really hard for me because it was just always me, her, and my sister, and I thought that she chose another marriage over me. And so in my teenage years, I wanted to stay with my dad and stay with my friends, and I didn't care about her or what she did, and it was just like one day she was gone, and that left a really big hole in me. I began filling my time with friends and partying, and I argued with my dad a lot. After I graduated, I got pregnant, and my dad said to me, Aisha, you can't keep a baby just so you can have somebody to love, and I never understood that. I was angry, and I thought I could do it, and I was waiting for my mom to come and save me throughout that whole thing. I ignored my pregnancy, and I was just waiting for her to come and save me, but she was in California, and I was here, and didn't happen. So I had my son, and my parents said if I kept him, I couldn't come home. So I continued like hanging out with all my same friends who were good on the weekdays but bad on the weekends, and I tried doing that with a baby, and it didn't work. So I ended up losing my son, and it's amazing the journey that God walks you through, because I am totally content with where I am at today, knowing that my cousin's adopted him, and that is great. I'm very grateful. They're a great Christian family, but it's the healing from those moments back in my past that God is walking me through. So songs come up to my memory to remind me of times when I would be driving him to the foster mom, but it was like so hard because I wanted to keep him so bad, but I had absolutely no tools to do so. So when my cousins offered to adopt him, I agreed. I just was going and going and going and choosing whatever answer just came up in front of me because I didn't know what else to do. And that's when my drug addiction really started. I started using crystal meth really heavily, and my life just went into like a bottomless pit really quickly. I moved away from like all my friends, isolated from them. I stopped talking to my family, who were big parts of my lives, and just drugs became my life. I went to jail a few times. I hung out with all the wrong people and basically went from like 0 to 1,000 really fast. Anything bad I could have done, I probably tried to do it, and got pregnant again. This is something that God is healing me through right now. I generally don't acknowledge that pregnancy. I ignored it until the day that I had the baby, and I left the hospital. So these are things that I hold against myself, and it's really hard to walk through that pain, but I know that God is with me doing it, and just acknowledging it also helps because I've ignored it for so long. And so after all this happened, I continued to use drugs heavily, and I went into a state of psychosis, and my life was just dark. I was crazy. I didn't know what was what. All I knew was that I needed love, and in my disillusioned psychosis, I called out to God. I knew that he was a God of love from what I remembered from growing up, and I needed love. I needed him desperately, and I wrote him a letter, and God is so good. He's so faithful. He set it up so that I basically had no choice but to change my life. Everything was stripped of me, and he delivered me instantly from my addiction. It was amazing, and I shortly came to Teen Challenge after that. So I'm in my 11th month, and it's really great the restoration that God does and the healing that he brings. I'm learning who I am in him, and I'm learning that no mistake that I have made is too big for God to heal, because I think before I wanted to hold on to that pain to make myself suffer, and he just wants me to give it all to him, and I know that he will bring me great places. I have a lot of faith, and I know that your faith is no bigger than the object that you put your faith in, and the more you know about God, the greater your faith is. And so it's really amazing being able to learn about him and learn about who I am and not have to fit into any cookie-cutter mold and just be his daughter and let him speak to me and let him heal me. And, I'm just really grateful for Teen Challenge, and my family's back in my life. And it's amazing that, you know, you can go through so much stuff and then you can come out the other end and be stronger. And it's really amazing. And so I thank you for having us here and letting us share, and just bless all of you.
In real quick closing, these stories and these testimonies, they're powerful stuff. And I just got a little bit of scripture, and you know, it's amazing to go out. Like me and Daniel went out to an outreach last time, and you know, I picked up Sunday morning shifts, and it's so fulfilling. Like, it's easy just to kind of drag your feet through the week, even being in a full-time ministry, and then come out and do something like this. And really, you know, Robert, and I spoke with Nathan again the other night. So this is a charge to the congregation and to the guys. And you know, I'm guilty of this, and Nathan and Robert will know that. And I think this is just a real good thing just to lay down. And Paul said it to Timothy. He said, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends and they will be reckless, puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the very power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. That's my charge to you guys and girls, is that it's easy to compromise and have something that's comfortable. We come from a lifestyle that if it makes us comfortable, then it feels right, whether it's alcohol or drugs or sexual sin or shopping like we heard or spending money. We find our identity in something to comfort us. And there's so many people around us that are like that. Don't come down to that level to find your comfort. Find your comfort in Christ.